All right. Welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, we're diving straight in to part two of this episode. First part, if you didn't catch it, head back to the previous episode, talked about kind of checking in on OKRs and EOS and just like how the businesses run, I think is like how we'll title these episodes. And then I think in this episode, talking about like why the hell we need this stuff as like business owners and individuals and managers. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. And I mean, I can kind of start with a little bit about it because I didn't dig into too much before because honestly, there's not, as far as like the bigger picture goes, there's not a lot that we've made progress on of like implementing an operating system for the business, that sort of thing. And it's funny is that like when I was at Groove, so I guess, yeah, my employment background of like I've never worked at a big company, barely had a real job, just kind of gambled for most of my life. And when I started getting into the startup world, did some consulting, worked at Hubstaff when they were like, I think I joined, it was like 40K MRR. Then when I left, it was maybe 120-ish. But it's like, even then, by the time I had left, like they were starting to get a bit more process in place, but like not really. I think that came really like after I was gone. And I'm sure at the scale that they're at now, where I believe it's public, it's like 10 plus million ARR. Like they obviously have managers and process and that sort of thing. Went from there to Groove and it was growing, but not at that clip. And it was at the point where it was like, I could see the pain points and Alex saw them too. Alex, the founder and CEO, and it was like, was in those early stages of putting process in place on just how the teams are going to operate and all of that. And we experimented with OKRs. And it was something where like I gravitate towards order, at least in this kind of thing. It's like, I want to see everything in front of me. I'm visual. Like if it's not written down somewhere, to me, it just like doesn't exist. And so from that mentality, like I understood, okay, we should do this, but it was still just like, you have questions like, oh, like, is this really necessary? This seems like a like some busy work that we're going to have to do. And I didn't really have the perspective from the manager's standpoint, at least the full perspective. I still appreciate it was like fine going in that direction, but there were definitely like mixed reactions in other teams. And it took a while implementing it when we were about 20 people, because a lot of the team had been there for a while. They're used to how they work. And there's just like a lot of friction you have to overcome to do it. And so I think it's natural for people to like, why go through those hassles when things seem to be working? And I'm sure you have your own answer to it, which I'm interested to hear. But for me, there's a few reasons where a lot of it comes down, frankly, to sanity, where I felt like I was the glue holding things together, where it was like, okay, like in Slack, I would just set dozens of reminders where if I saw someone ask someone a question, I would set a reminder to make sure they got an answer for it. Or I would say, oh, next week I should probably follow up on that because that's something that like, it seems like it could be a bigger issue there. So like, let's see what's going on there. And it was fine when it was small things, when we were a smaller team, but that really became like following up on all those things, a huge part of my job. And it is important to just like not let things slip through the cracks like that. And part of the solution is giving the team more ownership of what they're working on so that they are the ones that they know it's their responsibility to follow these things through. Like if they need an answer to something, like they're going to get it. And that's the big thing. So it's like giving the ownership really over to other people through delegation and all of that is super important to getting that result. But the flip side of the coin is if there's no accountability, I still am going to feel like I have to set those reminders to make sure that they follow through with it. And I don't want my job to be a babysitter because we don't have babies on the team, but it's just like, we need to make sure we're executing. We need to make sure we're doing what we say we're doing. And if we're not tracking it in a consistent way, if we're not following up on it, there isn't that accountability aspect. And accountability doesn't even mean like getting people in trouble. It's just like making sure what was said would be done was done with as little overhead as possible. And the old method was a lot of overhead for me and still didn't work that well. And so where we're at is saying we were following EOS is definitely a stretch. I think that's the direction we're going. we did our best to follow like the annual and quarterly planning process. But I think that's frankly like where it's broken down, might be too strong, but like that's really where we're at, is just get in that direction. But because I just have felt like that accountability layer has been missing, and that's what we've needed most. Like that's our biggest pain point. And so what we've done is just really tried to make Notion the single source of truth. We aren't anti-synchronous communication, where it's like, I know some teams will only communicate in project management tools. That's not us. We'd like to be collaborative. We want to have real-time conversations. So like we do still do a lot of that in Slack, and that's fine. But it's more like just saying, okay, if you're working on something that's going to take you more than an hour or like a few hours, it should be a card in Notion, just in a Kanban board. And I don't expect you to update this every time you get some new piece of information, but the bigger of a project it is, the more you should be keeping it updated. And that way that like in our meetings together with the different teams, I can just look at Notion and know where everything's at. And then we can collaborate as peers on saying, okay, like what questions do you have? Like, how can I help with this? But when most of my meetings are getting Notion up to date, there's not as much time for that. And like, it's not as though my role has changed at all. It's more just like, yeah, now I'm just kind of batching that annoying work. And so where we're at is really just that early stages of getting so that Notion is a single source of truth. And part of it, again, is just to be clear of what people should be working on, and not in that punitive way, but in the way of like, a lot of shit comes up in the day. It doesn't matter the role. You can be a developer and you run into some issue, maybe you go down the rabbit hole of troubleshooting that, or you're on support and you get this weird request that you start digging into, or whatever. Like all of us have things that pop up, even if we might not think of that. And when you have the clear priorities in front of you, it's a lot easier to know, oh, I shouldn't chase that. Or like, I know it needs to get done. And it's a lot easier for me to communicate those expectations too, because I know that our team is filled with very capable people that I wouldn't, there's not a single person on the team that I would ever want to get rid of. Like everyone makes a huge contribution, and a lot of it's been in spite of my like mismanagement. And it's something where I want it to be obvious to them what the priorities are. I want their feedback into what that is. But at the end of the day, it's like, I just want to be able to say, look, like do this, not that, without going into a micro level of questioning all their decisions. But it's just when we have those touch points and we can say, oh, like this was the priorities we discussed. Why didn't these get done? And it can be, oh, this came up and that came up. And then we can discuss like, okay, like that makes sense. Yes, those were more important. And here's why. So yes, I get it. That's fine. Let's try to get these done this week. It can be like a learning opportunity where it's like, oh, well, like honestly, like I get why you did those in this order, but those things really just aren't that important. And here's why these other things matter more, or just more urgent, whatever it is. And like, to me, you and I've talked a good amount about like managing without being a dick. And it's like a lot of it comes down to clarity and accountability, where it's like, make it clear what's being done, what should be done, and then follow up on it. And it shouldn't be an adversarial conversation. It should really just be like, okay, like let's learn from this and then do it. And it's when there's, at least for the way I think, I work, whatever, I just want all those things visualized, because then it's just obvious, or at least the way I see it. But when it's not, that's when you're going to have people like, oh, like, why is he mad I didn't get this done? Or why is this? Like that's the thing, is I think a lot of those questions come from a lack of clarity. And so long story short, we focus more on just bringing that accountability, bringing that clarity into the system. It's like our meetings are on the agenda. It's always been first step, review Notion, just wouldn't really do it. And now it's like, no, like literally when I would be on some of the calls with Matt, and it was like, go through Notion. And like, if this isn't up to date, get it up to date, and then work on having it so that when the call starts, it's already up to date, and then you can just check in on the status of things. And so it's a process, but yeah, that's kind of the side that we've landed on and where we're at.
I agree with everything you said. We add one more when we talk about like process and intentionality with like goal setting and trying to be clear about like roles and responsibilities and priorities. And it's clarity and accountability and predictability. And like the example I use is we should have a pretty good idea like when this feature is going to be released, because there's three other groups in the company that will be impacted when this happens. There's sales that will be selling it. There's marketing that needs to do a blog post, a YouTube video, and a podcast. And there's support and success that have to train each other on this thing and put a help doc out and things like that. And if it's a comment in Slack, like, hey, this is ready to go, it's going out today, that's just not scalable, right? And that's not creating the work environment that we all want. And I think this is where like, this is really hard, is like this kind of work and being more rigid about how we work is counter to how a lot of us like live our lives, I think, at the surface, but then it really is how we want to live our lives in the end. You know, it's like if you take that extra bit of time to really think about and plan and document and put your work kind of in public, you know, for us all to see, then like the rest of like the output or the downstream stuff later will just be obvious. And like, you don't have to do any more work later. The predictability thing is really big for us.
Do you mind if I just jump in on the predictability part?
Because totally.
This was something that came to mind, especially when I was talking with Jordan, who title is head coach. He creates all of our content, but it's marketing slash success is really how I would bucket his role. And as talking with him earlier made me realize this, where it goes back to like that ownership component, because a lot of times it'd be like, we haven't done a great job of promoting new features because we don't have much of a product development process, where it's like, when we do a new release, do we publish release notes even internally so that like marketing, which is basically me and Jordan, know what's been done so that we can promote it or talk about it in office hours or write an email, like whatever it may be. And so like we're getting ready to, this is February 16th, Daytona 500 is this weekend. So you'll actually be down in Florida for that. I'm sure that's why you're going.
Scary.
Yeah. But we're getting ready to release our NASCAR model. And it was one of those things where Jordan checked in with Matt, Matt runs front end and the models. And was like, hey, like, I know we're cutting it close on the models, but getting ready for this, but do we think these parts of that will be able to make it in the app before it? And Matt was like, I'm not sure. Like, it's possible we might only have this. And so like in my call with Jordan, he mentioned that to me. I was like, all right, like figure out like when he'll know the answer to that. Like what could block that? If you think this would block you delivering the video that you need to do for this, figure out what would block Matt and when he'll know it'll happen. And a lot of times it would have been me going back to Matt and asking that, but it's like Jordan can ask those same questions. I just default to it. And it's like, no, like this is like Jordan's owning this. Like he can go through and follow up with this. And like, I think to Jordan, frankly, it was like more of a relief. We're like, all right, like I don't need to go through Andy to this. Like I can just see this through. And so it's like that part of giving someone ownership of just saying, okay, like figure these things out, keep me updated along the way. And if you have questions, like I'll give my feedback, but like, I just want to know that things are progressing, because when there's coordination, it's like someone's got to see it through, and it just isn't scalable if that person is me for every project that we have going on.
Yes. And I think that like the real thing is like that conversation just should never have happened, right? Like that, oh, I caught this message in Slack and then I dug into it some more and I'm blocked because of this. Like, and that's just kind of how I think is like, you talk about like being a well-oiled machine, and like, there should just never be surprises or exceptions or clarifications. It should just be in Notion or in GitLab or whatever. Like there should not be any Slack updates about anything that's like a regular part of business to me, you know, like it just should be a process and you run the process. And that's where like, to me, management is really like, and this is not being too like patting myself on the back, I hope, but like giving a lot of stress relief to our team. You know, like ideally, if this is a well-run machine, then a lot of the stress of working in a, you know, 10 or 12 or 14 person company goes away, because like you walk in the morning and you know, like, okay, this is what's going to happen today. And like, I think that that's, it's impossible at the beginning, because you don't know, like, you know, when you're two people, you don't know. But like, at this point, I think that it's like really necessary to be able to sustain like this that we're doing, and like for our team members to be able to sustain this too, because like, otherwise they're going to come in and some random thing's going to happen and derail them. Where like, I think if the process of work is more clear and you follow it and you're able to follow it, and I think that's that like ownership you're talking about. If you're able to follow that process, then like all the questions, more of the questions go away. And like, that's one of the real big upsides to me.
Yeah. And honestly, like, we're not there on the process at all. And so I'm doing my best to view this in phases, where it's like, okay, there's only so much of the development and product cycle and all that we can change at once. There's only so much of just like how we work that we can change at once. So for me, it's just getting Notion to be a single source of truth. And that's like the big thing on the delegation part. It's just empowering people to really just be like, no, look, like, this is on you. Like, keep seeing it through. Like, I'll let you know. Like, let's not talk about this as though, all right, like, we're going to wait to see what happens. Like, no, like, actively figure it out. But the other part is just, yeah, like, next, it'll be the product process of saying, okay, how can we have prepared better for this so that it wasn't a discussion that came up somewhat last minute? But like, I just know we're not there, and that's going to take some more time to get to. And so the middle ground is just get it so that, again, the individuals who own the different tasks are able to stay on top of it. And then next, we'll make sure that there's less for them to have to stay on top of, because things work a little bit smoother and then a little bit smoother and so on. But yeah, it's just, we're just trying to like tackle things bit by bit. And it's like, for us, it's on the development side, it's more just like the QA and release process that's taking a lot of Matt's time, and that's easier to simplify. So like, that's one of his main goals for this quarter for Matt, is to get that done. And I think the next thing will be like, how do we build onto this so that it really becomes like a clear product process, and that there's fewer surprises? The developers don't have to, like, we're not giving them design changes after they've already built something, that sort of thing. But it's like, there's just still a lot there. And so, yeah, we're just going bit by bit.
I think that this is just a question, and I don't have an answer, but I think this is kind of where we are, is like a big part of just the process, like product or whatever, is reporting. And I think that's a part of accountability, is this is the plan. It's our job to communicate and the plan, and for everyone to agree on it, you know, on a weekly or quarterly or monthly basis or whatever it is. And then like how that gets reported on, you know, without like seeming like you're grading people all the time, like, cause that's just demoralizing and horrible. But like, us all doing a good job of communicating and, you know, I'll say reporting, cause it's just the most appropriate word, I think, is the thing that enables this clarity and predictability to say like, hey, this is where this blog post is, or this is where this feature is, or this is where this success initiative is. And I think that's like a really hard thing, because that like that gets to something I just very much don't like, which is like busy work and like red tape, and something like we promised we would never do. But like, if there's like a silo of information in a person's brain that like the rest of the company or a group don't have access to, then like that's really dangerous. And like, it's dangerous because like they go on vacation or they get sick or whatever, and we're all just up a creek. And it's dangerous because like you start wondering like what's going on? You know, like where's this thing? What's going on here? We said this is important. Like, I trust everyone on our team, but like at a point you got to say like, I don't know what's going on and you're not communicating, then like this is a problem. I think that's where we have the most room to improve, is doing that in a kind of effortless way that's just natural, you know? And I think just working in public is really helpful there. So everything's in Notion or everything's in GitLab in public channels to where if you have a question, you should be able to just go and see, and it's there.
Yeah. And I can tell you what we're working towards, because that is still a pain point. It's gotten better, but we always roughly use Notion. It was funny where it's like the bigger things are in there and have always been in there. And it was like our contractors were much better, frankly, at like keeping it up to date than the employees, because it was just like they almost had to be, where it's just like they would go there to check what to do next and they would keep it updated and just like give their report and kind of sign off. Whereas the others, there's more communication, is less necessary. But the issue came when there would just be either tasks that were hard to tie back to the bigger picture of like, what is this part of? What is the project this relates to? Or it was just this massive project that was just like one card and just wouldn't move for like weeks at a time. And like that was really like the issue. And so what we're experimenting with now is, on one side of it, is breaking everything down into smaller tasks. So because like in Kanban, like, which is really just, if you're familiar with Trello, like you're familiar with Kanban, and it's basically just like, I'm sure there's like a proper way of doing it, but we just do is have like a prioritized backlog. We have what we're going to try to do this week. We have what we're doing, and we have what's in QA, then what's done. And it's just like work task works through that flow. If you don't see movement across a week, the system really just breaks down. And so what we've intentionally done is break things down into smaller, like, so that is true. So like if it takes more than 2 or 3 days, it's more than one card, because those 2 or 3 day tasks often turn into a full week. And so that has helped a lot, because it gives more clarity into what's going on. When it's just like, deliver this feature, it's like, I have no idea what you did this week, what's still left to do, where you could be getting stuck, because I don't see the steps within it. And so by breaking it down in the steps within it, it makes it more granular, so you can see the movement. The second thing we've done is we used to also have like these big, basically, and we label it index of like, if there was a big project, we would just put that on the same board, label it index, and it wouldn't move. And it would just be like, you'd take tasks off of that and move those along the board. But it was just really hard to figure out how it all fit together. So now, and it doesn't make it, defeats a bit of the purpose of the board when you use it in a way that's just like not meant to. It shouldn't have things that intentionally don't move. So now we have a task board, and then we have like a project list. And the project list has the projects that have been prioritized as like things we should be doing this quarter. If it's not that soon, it stays in this like a uncategorized like backlog list. And then that project list, what that does is that acts as the index. It links out to the cards that are from it. But like then I can see, okay, I get what tasks you've done on this. I can go to the project card and see what's left. Because that would be where a lot of the issues would be, is like Ben or literally anyone like me, I'm sure if they were asking me questions about things, would like have our own way of tracking all the things that needed to get done for something. And we were lucky if it was in an index card on the Kanban board. Usually it'd just be like a Google Doc, Notepad, like whatever, just something we had. And so I'd be like, okay, like I know these things got done. I forgot what already has been done for this project. I forget what's left to be done. I have no idea what the progress of this is. And so this makes it easier to follow. It definitely does take a bit more upfront work, but not that much. Because honestly, like what you start with is you plan out what needs to get done for the project. Once you start working on things, you spin out those cards from the project into a card and start working through them. And in Notion, you can set it up so like when you check off one list on like the task card, it'll also check it off in the project. And so it's not as though you have to like update things in multiple places, because that never works. But like what it forces is more upfront planning, which frankly, I think will get better results. But again, it's still just like trying to find the balance of making sure it's not too much extra work. And I think I feel like we're getting a lot closer. So that's where we're at. And it's been much more helpful. I think on like the only suggestion I guess to Urine is you don't need to go like my full like type A solution, but it's just breaking down tasks into smaller things so that it's just like very clear. If this doesn't move, like that's a problem versus, of course, this doesn't move. It's going to take 2 months to finish this. And then it takes 3 or 4 and like you have no idea.
Yeah. I mean, so we have a similar thing. We do it all in GitLab for the product stuff. But I think that's a good point is that like this should apply for everybody, right? This should be product. This should be marketing. And like for sales, it's all in HubSpot. And like, I think this, like we do it for success and support. All have their own kind of areas of lists. And it's for us, it's all between Notion and GitLab. And I think that's important, again, just like visibility, so that like there should never be this, hey, in Slack, right? Hey, what about this? It'd just be like, hey, this is where the source of truth lies. And I think the tough thing is like taking the time and being intentional about like updating where things are in those. And like doing it in GitLab is nice because like it's just automatic. Like when an issue is closed, then like it's merged and all that stuff just happens automatically. And you know, there's not issues and pull requests and stuff like that with marketing, but like, so you just move it over. But yeah, we just try to like work in those cards a lot, like from a marketing perspective, like all of the stuff around like an email we want to send is in that card. So if someone wants to go see what's going on with that email, like all of the copy is in that card. So I think that's just really important is like doing the work in the place where the accountability is or the reporting is. And that just makes it, it's super obvious to say, but it just makes it so easy. Cause like you said, nobody's going to do the work in two places.
Or at least like, yeah, they're not going to like do the updates in two places. It's like, because for us, like it depends what it is. I don't mind specking things out and like doing outlines in Notion, but I'm not going to write an email there. But as long as I have the Google Doc linked to the Notion card, like that's, I don't care. Like that's fine. But like, I want to go to Notion and be able to find everything I need there.
And I think I'll just like one last sentiment on this is like, you were talking about like getting started with this at Groove when you're 20 people. And like, to me, this just hopefully sets the tone for how we work in like predictable, organized, intentional way so that when we're 20 or 50 people, like there's less growing pains. Like that might be the biggest reason that we do this now. Like, I don't think we need as much process as we have, but like, I want to start doing it the right way so that as we grow, it's just there. And like, I don't think you're ever too early to start a lot of this stuff. Like once you're 2 people, like you should be doing a lot of this, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree completely because it's just harder to change the longer you go and the bigger you get. And I think, yeah, the only thing I would add as well is just a lot of it comes down to us setting the example. And it's like I don't blame anyone on the team for like not using Notion more before because I didn't make it a priority. And a lot of times like I wouldn't use it that much. And so it's just one of those things where if we can make it clear how it's beneficial, not just to the company, but to the people where it's like, dude, I don't want to have, like, you don't want me pinging you asking like, hey, like you will, like, I'm supposed to give feedback on this draft. Like, where's the Google Doc? Like, oh, and like, oh, like, where's this? Like, if you just put it somewhere or like me even checking up, like, how are things coming along on that? Like, you don't want to get bothered with those type of questions. And so put it in one place. You're going to have to kind of retrain your habits, but it's not as though it's hard. It's going to benefit everybody. And then it's like on my end, it really is in the check-ins, in our meetings, follow the process and like go through and be like, all right, like, hey, like this, like we should have done this. We should have like worked on this. And it's just being consistent and just like sticking to it, which is very hard in the early days. And so I think it's almost one of those things where you start with this from day one, or you almost have to wait until you get to around the size that we're at. Because in those middle spots where things are hectic and like you don't have enough people and you're all just kind of all over the place, having systems would be very beneficial, but like you just don't really have the bandwidth, or at least I felt like I didn't have the bandwidth to do it. I was like, no, like as long as these things are getting done, like I don't give a shit. Like, let's just keep doing them. We'll deal with this later. And now we have the bandwidth more, I feel like, take the step back and say, okay, like, let's deal with this. Let's pay down this technical debt in a certain way now.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Cool. Well, I hope this is interesting. This two-parter was interesting and folks can kind of relate to some of it at least. Yeah. Andy, always good to chat through this stuff.
Yeah. And if anyone has any feedback or thoughts or not even or especially ideas for different things that we could dig into, questions about how we do things, what we've messed up, what has gone right, like whatever, let us know. Always excited to get feedback from everyone listening. So thanks everyone for tuning in and we'll be back next week.